Well, hello and welcome back to the Prophet Express. I am Tim Healy. Thanks for sharing some time. Thanks for listening today. And you can follow me in the show on Facebook at the Prophet Express page. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Let me know what you thought about today's guest that you'd love to have on the show. I'll get them. I'll work personally getting them for you. And of course, you can follow me and the show on Twitter as well at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. Now, for the startups listening, the entrepreneurs listening, small business owners listening, to think that one day you'd have a company with your own company with a market valuation of $38 billion, it's hard to even fathom that. And the fact that it happened in just over 10 years in a mature industry, even harder to really wrap your head around that. But that's what Airbnb has done with a market valuation of $38 billion. I think it was as of 2018. And in 2019, they're celebrating their 500 million guest bookings. And they've done it literally all around the globe. And they started in 2007, two guys, and they saw an opportunity to rent out their room to conference goers at a design conference in San Francisco. And just like all typical startups and hustlers and entrepreneurs, they saw a chance, and the rest is history. Now, today's guest to share the story, and more importantly, to share lessons for you that you can apply and that you can learn, is best-selling author Joseph Michelli. His brand new book that we've been discussing, The Airbnb Way. Again, Joseph, thanks for sharing some of your time with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, I have to admit, just bear with me on this one, Joseph. I'm not a customer of Airbnb, never once, okay? Still fascinated, great book, and I think the company story is phenomenal, but I just have to be honest, of course. And I just don't know if I could just show up at somebody's house. And I was talking to my engineer, John, on the break, and, you know, there's being the guest, and then there's, you know, hosting somebody. And I'm like, no way, forget it. You know, I couldn't have, but that's me. I'm a little wacky, but obviously I'm wrong because look at their success. You know what I mean? It's just a fascinating.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I think that this speaks to the breadth of need states that people have, right? Like, I don't have a need to host people in my house, certainly not now, but heaven forbid that I became housing insecure in old age.
Yeah.
You know, I'd certainly want to have that as an option over maybe a reverse mortgage, right? I mean, I want to have that option, and it might find out that despite my initial reservations, most people turn out to be a little more interesting and fascinating and wonderful to interact with. And you know, I've heard seniors tell me that they don't have to travel because travel comes to them. All these people come from all over the world, and they experience the world in their small town in ways they'd never done before. So I don't think it's wrong at all. And on the side of traveling, I mean, there are times I want an Airbnb, and there are times I want a hotel. You know, I just don't want to have anything that's going to disrupt my, you know, conference that I'm going to do the next day. But when I'm traveling with my family, I don't want to have seven hotel rooms adjacent to each other on multiple floors when we can share a common kitchen. Yeah, there are different need states. So don't judge thyself. The need has not been there yet.
You know what? Well, it makes me feel better. Thank you. But you know what? There's two interesting points that I want to tackle that you just mentioned. The first one is income, obviously. I think in the book you said that one of the most popular hosts are senior women. And I think the revenue, correct me if I'm wrong, that has been generated, I was in 2018, has been about $10 billion.
Yep.
I mean,
so it's the fastest growing, you know, sector, and it's also the women side of the seniors are the highest rated Airbnb hosts across all demographics.
Wow. So yeah. So I mean, just as an economic opportunity, like you said, somebody who wants to help meet rent or, you know, housing insecure, as you said, certainly a great alternative, absolutely, as opposed to reverse mortgage. So that's very interesting. And another thing that I read in the book, and again, today's guest Joseph Michelli's brand new book that we're chatting today, The Airbnb Way. One thing that I thought was very interesting, is how I think from the host perspective, when hosts were sharing in general, they were sharing the fact that it opened them up to a whole new way of seeing human nature. I didn't really even consider that. You know, I was looking at more from the business perspective.
I'm a better person from talking to hosts. You know, I watch the I watch the evening news, you know, so I'm a little jaundiced about the way the world is. That's out there. I mean, that's for real.
Sure.
But it's not the dominant interaction case for humans, right? It's kind of the stuff that we want to be, that catches our attention. But the things under the radar are often just real simple acts of kindness, and that most people are good. You know, every couple of years I read Viktor Frankl's book, A Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a story of good, right?
Yeah.
But in the course of that horror, you know, he says that some people are starving in the concentration camps to the point of near death, and then there are people who are right on the death's doorstep. And when food is rationed out, some of the people near death give food to the people who are closer to death. And what Frankl says is not many people do it, but the fact that humans can is inspiring to all of us. And I think what I see in Airbnb is that people can actually invite strangers into their homes and treat them with great kindness. That's inspiring to me. And I think many hosts who interact with guests long enough, they start either developing that or they had that as a basic worldview that enabled them to do it in the first place.
You know, just as I read it and as we're talking right now, I admire people who do it because I don't know if I would feel comfortable. Again, this is just right now and, you know, I could certainly change. But it's just like it got me thinking about, you know, how I view things. So it's certainly a very interesting approach. I want to know. So obviously you've done, you know, in writing your books, you know, one of the amazing things is the research that you get to do on the Ritz-Carltons of the world and the Starbucks and Mercedes. And so you obviously just finished up researching and getting to know the people at Airbnb. Your experiences as a guest, give me, has there been one that is just to you, was it like an amazing experience or a unique experience?
Yeah, you know, as you know from reading the book, and thanks for, you know, keeping not all of the book out there so people might even want to read it too. The very ending of the book is about Danville, and Danville is Dan and Deborah Shaw, and they are just amazing. Dan's 72, he's an inventor, he created the automatic paper towel dispenser. And in addition to being this innovative, creative guy who's retired, he owns some property outside of Orlando, not far from Disney World. And it's land that he was just kind of creating a man cave for himself in. Mm-hmm. And then he's expanded that and continued to riff on his own themes. And now he has an airplane hangar where the door actually lifts up hydraulically like airplane hangars do. It has a false front. It looks like a house. And when you stand out in front of it, he pushes the button and the hangar door lifts open and you look inside and it's an entire city. It's got a pub and a movie theater and all kinds of things inside this airplane hangar. He rents that place out for about $120 per night. You can watch movies in the theater. The bar, they do goats happy hour there. He invites locals to come in and shares a beer with you as a stranger. And after you have the first one, you have to pour it yourself as a friend. And, and from there, it just goes on. He's got two yurts, one in a treehouse, one on the ground. He's got another man cave out there. It's phenomenal. And this not only is the place a magical Disneyland of its own, but he and his wife are the most gracious human beings you could imagine and invites the community to love on their guests. And some of the guests who come to Danville from all over the world actually buy land in this tiny little swamp area of Florida because they're so smitten by the community experience that they had there that they don't have where they live.
Wow. Talk about a picture and how you just painted that one. So that's...
Well, read the book. You know, not you. I know. No. I mean, other people read the book. You'll get to see the whole picture in its fullness. But yeah, I think...
You're just teasing it, Joseph.
Yeah. A negative one. I can give you a quick negative one. I did not read the house rules or some of the descriptions. And I rented a place on short notice going through California. I went in, got my stead place. It was fine. I didn't realize there was, you know, in their house with this family, which was okay. I knew that. But there were three bedrooms that had been rented out, all three of them on the second level. There was one bathroom up there, and literally the other two rooms were occupied as well. So I would have to wait to see who was in the bathroom. And, you know, in the middle of the night, I'd have to determine whether or not anybody was in the bathroom and almost dress up before I'd go out. You know, because I'm an old guy. So I had to go and check. You know, it's just... That was a little awkward, like a little too much sharing. If I'd read the instructions and the information on the listing, it would have been fine. I would have assumed the risk, but that was a little too much of a rush.
No, I'm with you on that. I want my own accommodations as far as that's concerned. And this is the Profit Express. Today's guest is best-selling author Joseph Michelli, and we're talking about his new book, The Airbnb Way. And don't let the fact that Airbnb has a recent valuation of $38 billion scare you into thinking that you can't learn from them, because as Joseph has been sharing on today's show and in his book, of course, is there are a lot of lessons, and what I'm taking through from it, rather, is the importance of the human touch, the importance of communication and empathy. And then also leads me to my next thing, which, because of the very nature of the service that they offer, and you really talk a lot about this, obviously, for important reasons, is trust. And I forgot who said it. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Trust can't be purchased. Obviously, it has to be earned. How do they go about that very, very important relationship of trust?
Well, they're constantly evolving to try to figure this out. So, you know, at one point in time, they did not have a guarantee for hosts. So when you were talking earlier, you know, I can't imagine necessarily hosting a place. Well, for me, it's harder to imagine hosting than it is staying in some place. Mm. And I think hosting, the real risk you have is your one of your biggest assets, your home, could be damaged by somebody who's staying there. Mm-hmm. And so they did not have an insurance policy for hosts. And so now that's been remedied. So $1 million insurance against any damage that just comes with booking on the site and no worries. So that's a big step. Like, then you can, as a host, can trust that you're going to be made whole if there is an act from a human being that violates it. Similarly, they've had problems with guest behavior, right? So sometimes guests act in untoward ways. And as much as I'm kind of a believer that you can only control so much and you can't assure safety in anything, mm-hmm. They've had problems where sometimes guests have acted out. There was a situation in Orinda in California where, you know, guests invited other guests who were not on the list, and somebody ended up shooting five people to death in California. Mm. So, you know, lots of issues have been emerging. And so with that, then they have to have a policy associated with guest behavior and neighbor behavior. If your friend is hosting Airbnbs and they're not respectful to their neighbors, there needs to be a neighbor hotline. And so that has been evolving as a offering. So I think constantly they're reacting to areas where trust is violated so they can get ahead of it for future instances. And I think that's one of the most important things. The other thing, really quickly, is just a reputation system that enables me to rate you as a host and you rate me as a guest. That enables us to put that out into the marketplace and let the marketplace decide. And then if you're having problems with your ratings, to pretty much bury you on the site. And then if you act out wholly wrong, then you're banned from the site for life.
Do they, I mean, they're celebrating 500 million guest bookings, which is, again, it's just a hard number to wrap your head around. Are you aware of, or have they even come up with these numbers and or share those numbers as far as what percentage of complaints or, you know, bad visits do they have?
They certainly do not share those numbers. They're going to go public next year. I wouldn't expect to see any kind of number shared like that as they go public. But I
had to ask.
Always reference it in this small number range. You know, there is a question, a point I just would like to make, and it's a little off page, and I'm not trying to divert from the last question. But when you talk about entrepreneurs and that journey, I just think there's a pivot moment in the journey to Airbnb between, you know, air mattresses and the $38 billion valuation. That's pretty important, because I think it's where a lot of folks find trouble. So one of the big problems in 2008, after they got a little bit of traction with their first offerings, was that nobody was going to invest in them. The whole notion that they would be facing the kind of problems that you and I are talking about was too daunting. No one believed they could ever get there, so nobody was putting money down. So they pitched and pitched and pitched. And I think the scrappiness of that pitch, and finally hearing somebody who could see in their vision what they saw. Plus, at one point, they were so desperate for money that they were in the air, bed, and breakfast business. So they decided to go out and buy bulk cereal and package it in boxes of Obama O's during the election phase, sell it for inordinately large amounts of money per box. It was just a marketing gimmick. And it got a lot of publicity, and they made $30,000 from it. And the $30,000 was the difference between shutting down air, bed, and breakfast and then turning it into Airbnb as we know it today. So as you think about an entrepreneurial journey, lots of times people will say no until you find the right person who hears your vision. And then the other piece is just scrappiness, constantly moving your feet and thinking of ways just to make it to the next sunrise. And I think if you make it to enough of them, who knows, you might be the Airbnb of the future.
Well, that's actually a great story, and it's a story that resonates with so many of the listeners. Now, so there is a Airbnb today, quite possibly because of a serial marketing gimmick, if you will.
Absolutely. And one of their values is called be a serial entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
E-R-E-A-L.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Now, we haven't really talked a lot about the three founders. What, from your take, whether it's just an opinion or something from the book you want to share, what about the three of them makes them special to get where they are now today?
So two of them are design students from the Rhode Island School of Design. That's mm-hmm. Brian and Joe. The other is a Harvard-trained software engineer. So mm-hmm. okay. he definitely had his chops in terms of technical skill.
Right.
I think that Brian and Joe are very, very different. Brian is really well cut out to be the CEO and spokesperson for the brand. Joe is very much into design and is the master of design. And then you've got this great software technology engineering guy. But what they all share in common, I think, ultimately, is lifelong learning. Unlike a lot of entrepreneurs who don't think they need to ask questions or seek advice, these guys were particularly remarkable at it, and they continue to do it to this day. So I think that open-mindedness has been it, because when you're trying to build a business and scale, there's so many things you don't know. And waiting to find out that you don't know them isn't the smartest thing in the world. It's as soon as you become aware of that you might be in some dark, deep water, you have to learn some advanced swimming lessons, and they've done that extremely well. So that would be my main message. They partnered with very, very wise people to help them get to where they are today, and they are not self-made. And as a result of that, you know, they've taken Warren Buffett's pledge for entrepreneurs to give back half of their wealth. So I think they understand that it's pay it forward, pay it backward kind of a situation to be successful.
And I guess there's a certain amount of luck involved in just having the three right people together at the right time.
Amen. I mean, there's, you know, readiness and opportunity, right? Like yeah. you got to be ready, and sometimes the opportunities align just perfectly.
Right. Absolutely. And today's guest, Joseph Michelli, author of The Airbnb Way, a great read for any, just a very interesting read. Of in and of itself, but also if you are that startup or small business owner, lots of great lessons for you to take from the book, of course. What do you think would be, or I'm sorry, what do you think has been, rather? Let me reword that. What do you think has been Airbnb's biggest impact on the world so far today?
I think it's really democratizing the economics in many regions of the world. I think if you look at minority-owned, predominantly minority regions of the country, Airbnb has really gone aggressively in an economic empowerment plan to try to enable those folks to use the resources they have to generate income mm-hmm. and to deal with the disparity. I think what they've done for women in general and the massive economic difference that men and women make it's really to enable people, let's say that someone, you know, got a divorce, but they have the house, you know, now they can use the house as an economic engine, or, you know, there's equality in what you book your room for, whether you're male or female. So I think that's the biggest impact for me, is to unleash the economic power of home ownership.
That's pretty amazing, because as you're describing and as you're thinking about it, I never honestly gave it consideration before your book, to be completely honest. Think of how many people probably were able to have kept their homes as a result of the relationship with Airbnb.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard from so many of them, you know, clearly that there is that value. Now, let's tell the full story. On the other side of it, you know, in New York City, there's a lot of issues about rent control and whether or not people are taking, you know, housing off of the market for long-term rentals because they can make more on short-term rentals, which drives up prices for the, yeah. you know, the housing market. So this is not a simple story, and nor am I the one to kind of show the warts. I mean, my job is not to, you know, to do the Why Did Enron Fail book. I am in the world to say, what can we learn from the genius of certain leaders, as imperfect as we all are, what can we learn from some of the things that they did to really create remarkable business success. And I think hopefully if you create remarkable business success, you also take care of the communities in which you serve. And I see that in the heart of the Airbnb leadership.
And here's an interesting question. When I was driving to the studio, this one dawned on me. So we haven't really talked a lot about the traditional hotel. And you actually wrote a book about one of, you know, the best known hotels in the world. But just in general, have you seen or do you think the traditional hotel as we know it can adapt to and become better as a result of the Airbnb model?
Yeah, hotels have done what a lot of people do when there's a disruptor on the horizon. They say, "Ah, that's just a trend. It's not going to really make it." And then at some point, they start fighting it vehemently, you know, trying to make sure there's no way this thing can live because it's getting a little too big. And then at some point, they join it. And that's kind of where we are. You have a friend of mine who is the hotelier at one of the nicest hotels in Beverly Hills. And he said for the longest time, it's not going to hit us in Beverly Hills. We're Beverly Hills, for God's sake. They're coming to our hotel. But now the sultans and sheiks and mullahs come and they stay in these grand, you know, castle homes in the neighborhood. They bring their entire crew in and their chefs, and they don't have to stay at his hotel. And he's very aware of it. Increasingly, you're going to see the Marriotts, and you're seeing the Marriotts and other chains develop home sharing, rental properties off the grid as part of their portfolio. And what you're going to see also, and I'm seeing the beginning signs of this, is Airbnb having an extension up to the hotel side as well. So really pretty managed Airbnb properties somewhere in the future. So I think you're going to see a convergence because, as we said earlier, your need states vary. I want to be able to go to Airbnb. I should be able to book a hotel. I should be able to book one of these, you know, home shared options. So I think you're going to see more and more of that in the continuum of hotels.
Well, to me, it was a fascinating read. It's a fascinating story. It's just all, again, another amazing example of what's so great about entrepreneurship in America. And when you see an opportunity of seizing on it. Again, today's guest, Joseph Michelli, author of the new book, Airbnb Way. Great read. I appreciate your time. Do you have another one in the works you can talk to us about? What's your next project?
I'll be having a book out in 2021 on Godiva. Clients of mine that I've worked with is they're going to go in and try to create restaurants that compete with my beloved Starbucks in the morning day park with lots of mochas and chocolate croissants. So, I'll be telling that story. I'd just like to close, though, by simply saying thank you for who you are. I do interviews all the time. I'm blessed that way. I've been a talk show host. There are very few hosts that I've interacted with who have been as thoughtful, incisive, and create so much value for our listenership. So thank you, Tim, for what you've done today.
Well, I'm looking at my engineer. I hope we've recorded this one. I know it's going to be on the podcast, but very kind words. Well, listen, you know what? I'm fortunate because I'm, you know, to speak with people like you who, you know, listen, if I don't have a great guest, I don't have a show. Nobody's going to want to listen to me. Very nice words. I really appreciate that.
So even if I'm not a great guest, I will bring chocolate next time. So Godiva in a year and a half.
Well, so 2021, and they're going to have, if I got you right, so like stores to compete like on a Starbucks boutique-y breakfast thing?
Yeah, 2,000 of them going to be in the next 5 years. There's already some on high street locations in New York.
Really? Wow, I got to get you back on for that one. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, listen, Joseph, thank you so much for being on board again, the Airbnb Way. Phenomenal read. And happy holidays to you. Have a great 2020.
Same to you, Tim. Bye now.
My pleasure. And this has been The Profit Express. As you can tell, I really liked the book. It was a very interesting read. A lot of honestly surprising lessons on how these guys got to a $38 billion valuation when they were just created in 2007. I can't get over that. And they're renting out air mattresses for $80 a night in 2007. And now they are about to celebrate half a billion guest bookings. And they were three entrepreneurs, probably not a whole lot different than you listening or me talking. They saw an opportunity, a way to make money, and they went for it. And that's another reason. It's another reason why I share these kinds of stories with you as you're out there trying to win the battle for business each and every day. Because let's face it, it is important to have the faith in yourself, the belief, the courage, the confidence in yourself that when you think you have that idea that you've got to go for it. Because you, just like the founders of Airbnb, they did not if you ask them, hey, do you think you'll be worth $38 billion valuation one day? They'd laugh at you, okay? You just never know where your path will take you, but you don't know where it will take you if you don't get on and take those first steps. So thank you for sharing your time on the Profit Express. Until next time.